He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, a better day than yesterday version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and CFA Barry Kite. Better day today, Barry, than in the market than yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess we're on the upside of the roller coaster today.
It's been a seesaw, and today the saw is up. The Dow is up 342. That puts it at 34,821 after really an ugly day yesterday. The S&P is up 64 right now to 4630. And the NASDAQ, which got thumped yesterday, is up 218 points right now to 15,756. It almost seems like just fastening your seatbelts is the way to go right now. Turbulence ahead. Russell 2000, 2236. It's up 37 points today. Crude oil, which has been clobbered lately, up $1.75 to $67.93. Gold's up $14. I'm seeing a lot of breakouts in smaller and even some of the larger gold stocks, which tend to lead the actual commodity. Silver's down 12 cents. We've got the 10-year, which got all the way down to 1.44 yesterday. We saw a massive rally in the bond market yesterday, but some selling off today. We've got the 10-year up 3 basis points to 1.48. And Bitcoin is pretty quiet today, up $195, 58,654 on the digital currency. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner Barry Kite. And, I don't know, yesterday was pretty ugly. There wasn't much you could do about it, Barry, other than ride through it, and kind of grit your teeth and white knuckle it. It wasn't pretty. And we were wondering what happened during the show, because when we started the show, the market was actually in pretty good shape. And that was despite the warning from Moderna's CEO about the vaccine probably really losing efficacy against this new strain of COVID called Omicron. The market really took that news in stride, and it was right at 10:30 yesterday. It was the Fed. Okay, who moves the market? The Fed is the biggest market mover out there. That's when Jerome Powell weighed in on an earlier taper, and that's what really set the market off. I guess you could say it was a classic taper tantrum yesterday on top of the Omicron fears. Does that seem like a pretty good summary of yesterday's action, Barry?
Yeah, it was a oops, I did it again kind of moment for Jay Powell with he was the Grinch in 2018. If you don't remember that, look that up. And then, of course, his words kind of got him in trouble again yesterday. That may or may not make him Grinch, Grinch number two, but I kind of take it a little bit of it. You got to remember, it wasn't in front of the Senate. It's kind of still is a job interview, right? It's not exactly the Fed minutes, but he certainly kind of moved up that Fed taper, at least with his words. So definitely kicked off the old taper tantrum, if you will.
Yeah, massive sell-off. And he picked a strange time to really kind of announce? I mean, he uses these interviews and testimony to kind of announce changes in policy rather than the Fed meeting. He picked kind of a strange time with the market already really on shaky ground with the Omicron, but it is what it is. The Nasdaq was hit for 245 yesterday. The Dow was hit for 652, getting 388 back today. I don't really see any news today.
Well, I believe he speaks in front of the House here at some point today, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, well, so thanks we'll for the warning.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Besides the seatbelt, I'm going to put on that chest thing and the head thing and all that, like the tilt.
I need
the
head restraint. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the Grinch. Maybe, yeah, so far, you know, it's coal. I'm sending him a lump of coal for Christmas for yesterday. So anyways, that was yesterday. The consumer stocks were rattled after Moderna CEO warns on vaccine effectiveness. And some of us thought that maybe that was the one that set the Dow off. But it was right at 10:25 a.m. And I can remember while we were doing the show, I said, wow, something really just turned in the market. And I think you found it that he was announcing paper sooner rather than later. Now, you know, the taper is not really going to impact the market that much. It's raising interest rates, which will have a bigger impact. But, of course, by pulling back on the buying of bonds by the Fed, you just hope that the demand is there from the general public to pick up where the Fed leaves off. Otherwise, you know, interest rates will start to rise on their own when they don't have that support of the Fed anymore. And you saw all of the risk on assets yesterday in a big, big sell-off. Now, today, this is, you know, the futures were up last night. The futures were up this morning big. So this is not the news that turned it around. Since the yesterday, the ADP jobs report came in today, which is a precursor to Friday's jobs, the actual non-farm payroll report. 534,000 jobs created during the month of November. That's versus the consensus of 525. So that, you know, that really didn't have much impact on the market because it came in right where we expected it. Now, I thought these comments were interesting this morning from the Regeneron CEO, who, you know, they came up with one of the very important therapies for COVID last year. And he's saying that these COVID variants are just going to keep on keeping on. They will just keep appearing. And he called Omicron a COVID variant of great concern. That's Regeneron CEO Leonard Schleifer. He argued Tuesday that new strains of the virus will keep appearing until there are methods to attack the disease in all types of patients. He says this is going to keep going until we deal with treating everybody, including the immunocompromised. Schleifer's comments followed reports that antibody therapies produced by both Regeneron and Eli Lilly lose their effectiveness against the Omicron variant. So, you know, it just has to keep being tweaked in this fight against this virus, the COVID virus. Now, the crackdowns are beginning, all right? I heard this morning on one of the financial channels that the U.S. is prepared to not let you board a flight without a proof of, you know, negative on the infection one day prior.
Yeah, one day before. I believe it was 3 days prior to that. So you've got to get a negative test and quickly hop on the plane, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Then what if you're just going for the weekend? You know, then you got to turn around on Sunday and get another test, or on Saturday and get another test. To me, that should really put some crimps on people traveling, or you know, we're just going to drive everywhere. But I would think that that would hurt the airlines big time. And you know, the destination places that you have to fly to, I think that would hurt them. Greece is cracking down. Oh, I thought it was $100 a day. It's $114 per month. That's the fine on the unvaccinated residents over 60.
In Greece?
And, yeah, in Greece. Wow. And I've also heard that the new chancellor in Germany, who's replacing Merkel, he's very hawkish on the virus, and he is likely to impose a mandate for all Germans. We'll see how that goes over. So that's the good news on this holiday season, you know, getting ready for a joyous and wondrous holiday season. But when we come back, there were a lot of stocks that actually did really well yesterday. They stood out to me. This is Bill Gunderson at Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. It's an odd bunch of stocks leading the market today. Dow's now up 408. NASDAQ's up 210. But, you know, it's not the hardcore tech stocks that are leading the NASDAQ at all. In fact, they seem to be absent from the big leadership today. The leadership in the NASDAQ today, Ralph Lauren, Darden Restaurants, Philips Van Heusen shirts, Capri, which is a gaming stock, MGM Grand, TripAdvisor. That's an odd bunch of leaders in the tech-heavy NASDAQ. In the Dow, what's leading the 400-point advance? DuPont, ExxonMobil, American Express, and J.P. Morgan, probably because interest rates are rising again. That's going to be good for the financials today. The stock that stood out to me yesterday, in spite of a drubbing, Apple. Look at Apple. And again today, Apple is surging again today on three times normal volume. It traded huge volume. Huge volume yesterday, one of its biggest volume days of the year, and it hit a new all-time high as it closes in, Barry, on $3 trillion.
It's really a safe haven. I mean, we kind of used the playbook during March of last year, and I mean, it's not a treasury bill, right? But it's a bill in times of crisis. But it's in terms of stocks, it certainly has been a safe haven. I know the only real news that I saw yesterday was the fact that they had a 33% surge in iPad shipments to Western Europe. But it's hard for me to believe that a small bump in iPad sales are going to send that thing to $3 trillion. So it's very, very interesting, especially when the indices were kind of going the opposite way, and Apple makes up about 6 to 7% depending on the day of the S&P 500.
Yeah, and I think there was a little news too of maybe the supply chain clearing out a little bit, because right now I think they're having a hard time meeting the demand for those iPhone 13s. And I think Tim Cook mentioned that it's starting to clear out. And then there's the buzz. I mean, the buzz is there about the iCar, which I'm sure is going to happen at some point in time. And they'll be a player. I mean, look at Tesla. It's a trillion-dollar company without what Apple has. If you add on another... If you add on a whole nother business to Apple, who was part of who led the computer revolution and then led the telephone revolution, could they be a leader in the automobile revolution too? It's kind of looking that way. So, well, it's one of our biggest holdings, and it's getting bigger by the day. It does pay a dividend, 0.5%. And Apple is currently ranked in the app. Get this. I mean, look, the app is an equal opportunity ranker. It doesn't know anything about supply chain, politics, what's going on at the company. Apple is currently ranked number 86 out of 5,986. So there's 5,900 companies behind Apple and only 85 in front of it, which, you know, look, there's a perfect example of a large cap stock, unlike IBM or Hewlett-Packard or others. It has stayed relevant and out there on the cutting edge through first, you know, Steve Jobs, and secondly, I mean, Tim Cook, I think, is going to go down as a pretty good CEO for leading this company post Tim Cook. The other one that stood out to me yesterday, Shopify, continues to become a big player. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Barry, we wrote up Shopify. I want to look here in the Contributor Center. Maybe you can do that while I'm
gabbing
here. See how that stock has done since we wrote it up versus the S&P 500. Shopify, which is the baby Amazon, man, they had holiday sales that were just blockbuster. Shopify had merchant sales from Black Friday through Cyber Monday reached $6.3 billion, a 23% increase over the period in 2020. 47 million consumers purchased goods on Shopify during the weekend. Now, I would just call Shopify the online mall, okay? You don't have the smell of Wetzel's Pretzels or the carnival or the, you know, hot dogs on a stick and all the other things I used to enjoy going to the mall with my mommy. Now it's an online shopping mall with all these different shops that, you know, and you can open up your own store without incurring a, you know, a lease on a space and all the things that come with furnishing and redesigning the space and this and that. This is kind of the new mall of America and the world is Shopify.
And they helped, I mean, during COVID, they helped convert a lot of business, certainly mom and pop shops, over to online retail.
And the
article was titled, we wrote it back in June 19th of 2020. So it's been out for, you know, about a year and probably almost a year and a half now. Shopify, should we add an S to Fang? And
yeah.
That was the title. Looks like stock's up about 73% and S&P's up about right at about 50%.
Well,
so
okay.
It's been but if you look at the chart on Shopify, it's kind of pulled back a bit and starting to look attractive again. Of course, it's got a sky high PE, but it's to a certain extent it's been warranted given the amount of growth that it's had.
Yeah, well, over the last 5 years, the growth has been 191% per year, 191% per year average over the last 5 years. Okay, some other stocks that stood out to me yesterday were there were a pretty good action in the electric vehicle sector. I said some of these Chinese, now look, you got to decide for yourself at home whether you're willing to buy into Chinese stocks. But Li Auto, which I think we wrote up that one too,
yep.
Li is breaking
Li
out.
Neo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Li and Neo, it's breaking out today. And XPENG is breaking out, and Tesla had a good day. You just can't hold Tesla down. I mean, even in the wake of a market that's selling off. Now we've got Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg made an appearance on MSNBC yesterday saying that families that own an electric vehicle will never have to worry about gas prices again. Okay, this is an article on the Seeking Alpha today. Here's the problem with that line. In the U.S., more than 60% of electricity is generated from fossil fuels. So in Norway, where 70% of auto sales are electric, their electricity prices in Oslo, Norway, are up 500% year over year. So you also have to have a favorable energy policy to keep gasoline and the natural gas prices lower. powers the power plants that powers your electric vehicle. All right, something to think about. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. A lot of stocks to talk about when we come back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow holding on to its gains so far. It's up 366, and the NASDAQ holding on to its gains. It's up about 200. But it is an odd kind of group of leadership in the market today. But we'll take it. We're having a fairly good day. We're not getting back everything we were down yesterday, but it is a nice rebound day in a lot of the stocks that we own. One that we don't own, how many times have I warned people, listeners, followers, about high dividend yielding stocks? Okay, here's a for instance. Guess what AT&T's dividend yield is? Their forward dividend yield right now is, Barry, it's 9%. Why wouldn't we just sell everything and put it all in AT&T and collect 9%? Because the stock is hitting a new 12-year low.
Which makes that yield go up, right?
12-year low. Which, yes, I mean, do the math. If a company is trading at, let's say, $20 per share, and it pays a $1 per share dividend, that's 5% dividend yield. If the stock gets cut in half to 10, you've lost half your principal, but the dividend yield's gone up to 10%. All right, so the lower the stock goes, the higher the dividend yield. At some point, I would not be surprised at all if AT&T were to come in and cut their dividend yield in half. Now, I can't say that for sure. It doesn't matter. It's been a terrible investment. If you look at total return, you've gotten a negative return thinking that you're getting this big dividend yield. It's almost, you know, it's really almost like, you know, it seems too good to be true on the surface, and it is. Now, here's the other thing that I would point out, Barry. On Seeking Alpha, you can look up, you can type in a symbol and see how many people follow the stock, all right?
AT&T, right, yeah.
538,000 people. You can hardly go a day without somebody writing an article on Seeking Alpha about how can you pass up this giant dividend yield on AT&T. And I just want to barf, really. I mean, it just makes me sick to see these people promoting these high dividend stocks and recommending them. Because for the most part, it's a total value trap or sucker's bet. Now, let's give an example. I would rather have a lower dividend and a growth company. Back on November 7th, we wrote up United Microelectronics, UMC. Okay, UMC is a semiconductor-related stock. It's only $30 billion in market cap compared to AT&T's $164 billion. So it's one-fifth the size of AT&T. The dividend yield is nowhere near the 9% on AT&T. You're only going to get 1.8%. 1.8% on United Micro, UMC. But United Micro's been growing their earnings by 34% per year over the last 5 years. Look at the chart today on UMC.
If they wanted to pay a higher dividend, they could. But instead, sure, they're reinvesting back into their own company because they have more growth prospects going forward. So
yeah,
it's I look at it, the dividend yield, I mean, if AT&T's stock price went down in half today, well, their dividend yield would now be 18. Does that mean
exactly
it's an even better stock? You know, no.
It's worse.
It's just math.
you know, the other thing I would say is about companies staying current and vibrant and companies. Who was in a better place than AT&T to revolutionize the telephone industry. Instead, a disruptor like Steve Jobs came along, and the only thing AT&T got out of it was the, you know, they got the telephone subscription a lot of times. It helped them in that way, but they completely missed out on a huge opportunity, and now they're warning of slower industry growth. Well, yeah, I mean, they're in cable and all these things that people are cutting the cord on. They used to make most of their money in long-distance phone calls, you know, and now you can do Internet calls for free. So go ahead, chase that 9% dividend. UMC, on the other hand, 1.8. Now, here's the results. We're still ranked in the – I haven't checked lately. Last time I checked, we were in the top 4% of all the writers on Seeking Alpha. Since that article came out by us on November the 7th of last year, I think it was November the 7th, let's see here, of last year. Yeah, the stock is up. I got to go back here to the Contributor Center. You got that, how much UMC is up?
I'm pulling it up. It's, yeah, let's see, right
it's
here.
It's up big time. And it doesn't include the dividend, I don't think.
It's up 100. Yeah, with the dividend, it's up 128% total return. S&P is up 28%.
Yeah, so that's in about 11 months, 12 months period of time. There's another huge winner from the pen of the Gunderson Capital team, ranked in the top 4% of all the writers on Seeking Alpha. And you know what? There's just a perfect example of a 9% dividend stinker versus a 1.8% dividend. Of course, we own UMC. We own UMC.
Yep, and it's got a 15 forward PE. So it's not. I mean, you know, the other thing is it's not like it's a high flyer PE growth stock either from that perspective. So
AT&T is also a perfect example of a growth trap. I mean a dividend or a value trap.
Certainly.
It's got a PE of 7. How can you pass that up? It's got a PE of 7. Well, let me tell you a truism about the market. You can write this down and take it to the bank, is that non-growth stocks are punished big time on Wall Street with low P.E. ratios. You know, on the other hand, Apple is trading at a P.E. of 29. If AT&T was trading at 29 times earnings, it would be a huge stock, okay? Instead, it's a dog trading at 7 times earnings. But I suppose the value guys are all over it. Okay, there were a few, one other one that this is the kind of the, we're getting all the dogs out of the way so we can get to the really good stuff.
Get to the fun stuff.
The other one, I was shopping last night and I look at the milk aisle and all these milk alternatives now, you know. But Oatly, which was kind of backed, I know that Oprah Winfrey was one of the promoters of and owners of this Oatly group. That thing came public at 17, rushes up to 29, and it has been downhill ever since. It's hitting $8.59. I see this massive milk refrigerator with all these, and I see one little bottle of Oatly milk, right? Where they make the milk. I bought one about a month ago. It tastes like mushy, tastes like watered down oatmeal, which that's delicious, you know, on your cereal. But anyway,
and cold.
Yeah, yeah, and cold watered down. But they're making milk out of it, ice cream, yogurt, cooking creams and spreads. Oatly is hitting $8.61 per share. You know, I always say you got to kind of choose your gurus and you got to choose your stocks wisely, and there's a lot of garbage out there. Okay, now when we come back, man, there's a lot of stocks that we could talk about. One other stock here that's okay, this one's hurting. This is probably what's holding the NASDAQ down today. I mean, the NASDAQ's up 200, but it's not the traditional high-tech software semiconductor stocks leading the parade, because Salesforce, which was added to the Dow sometime last year, which sometimes can be the kiss of death to be added to the Dow. Salesforce is down 6.6% today. On they beat on revenue, they beat on sales, they raised their guidance for next year. So you'd have to look into that one. Something.
Yeah, they named a co-CEO yesterday, and I don't know if that I don't know if that's potentially a sign that the founder and current CEO is going to be moving on at some point, because he's been really a rock star for that particular company. So naming that co-CEO, that's the only thing based on the early earnings reports that I saw and everything that you just said in terms of those numbers. That's the only thing that I can think that's hurting the company is going to be something that's non-financial related, put it that way.
Yeah, gotta be. Okay, when we come back, man, I'm gonna have to narrow this down. I currently have about 8 stocks that I could feature in the final segment of the show, and I'll narrow it down to just the very best of the best when we come back, because it's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Yesterday during the show, the market melted down. Today it's melting up during the show. I can't move. I'm so fastened into my chair here with everything. And got the seasick medicine is right here. The neck brace is here. I mean, it's been wild. It's been 300-400 point days, really, since last Friday. We had a couple of them last week, Monday and Tuesday of last week in the NASDAQ. It all seems to be two things: interest rates, the Fed. That's one. And now you have a new variable, which is a new variant in the market called Omicron. That we're learning more about every day. Now, we talked about a stock a couple weeks ago. I could see something brewing there, and we were trying to figure out what it was. Ambarella, AMBA, which initially its claim to fame was it made the chips for the GoPro cameras. And GoPro was one of the hot IPOs of all time. And, I kept saying at some point there's going to be a lot of competition and a lot of knockoffs of these GoPro cameras. But it went a lot higher than I ever thought it would go. And then, the fervor definitely died out on GoPro. And Ambarella, which was riding its coattails, GoPro was 98 at one time. It got clear down to $2 a share last year. And Ambarella got as high as 207, and then it got cut clear down to 82 earlier this year. But I guess Ambarella's big thing now is security cameras. And, who knows? We're probably on camera no matter where we go in the public these days. There's some camera somewhere that they can pick us up and surveillance and whatnot. But that's got to be their biggest revenue and growth driver. Ambarella beats by 8 cents, beats on revenue, guides higher, AMBA, and KeyBank boost their target to 230. Well, it hit that this morning.
Yeah, they help for automotive cameras, drones also. So those, certainly in the autos, that helps. That will help with some of the sensors for self-driving, I would imagine, forward. So
now it's an $8 billion market cap company, one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. I mean, this is really kind of a second life for Ambarella.
Yeah, up 22% today.
Holy cow. I mean, I had it very close to you know, buying that stock several weeks ago. It's currently ranked number 421, but as I look back a month ago, it was ranked number 128. And that's when it was really catching my eye. Just didn't know that much about it at the time. I should have done a deeper dive into it. But I remember us talking about it and looking at it and saying, look, what's up with this Ambarella? And I see the five-year growth rate is only 15% per year estimated going forward. But there's something definitely that we're missing here. 2 months ago, it was ranked number 20.
Well, and they've had to reinvent, like you said, they had to reinvent themselves, and that's AMBA on the symbol.
You'll have to look into that, some recent articles on it, whatnot, see what has really heated this thing up here, up 22%. Okay, another one that's jumping off the page at me is Rare Earth, not the old band Rare Earth, but Rare Earth Miner, MP Materials Corp. Is breaking out today, and it's getting an upgrade. And, you know, Rare Earth is in, it plays a big part in the electric vehicle, the EV sector. It plays a big part, and, you know, that the race is on between us, China, and Russia. The place where there's supposedly the biggest deposits of Rare Earth is Afghanistan. And now it would seem that, you know, China is all over that. I mean, they now control the airport that we gave up there in Afghanistan. Those rare earths, very, very important. Here in America, MP, that's Mountain Pass. I've been through that pass many times, going from San Diego north to Las Vegas, through Nevada, through Utah, etc. MP is starting to really take off here. And getting some upgrades. But I got a call. Let's see where MP is ranked right now. It's ranked at number 178 out of 5,985 MP, which, you know, I think it's got new management, new ownership, and they're going to really mine the heck out of that area of down there, just right on the Nevada-California border. The last one that's standing out to me, I got to make it the stock of the day, and I don't see any news on it, is United Microelectronics.
Yeah, it's up. It was, when we were talking about it earlier, I think it was up 6%. Now it's up 7.8%. Yeah.
Well, let's keep talking about it, and maybe it'll be up 10% before the show's over. It's out of Taiwan. So let's not forget political risk with, you know, the vultures kind of circling Taiwan, threatening them, saying, hey, just give up now and, you know, we won't have a war. But anyways, United Microelectronics, which was $1 a share in 2019, is hitting $12.54 per share. And, you know, it's one of the recent articles that we wrote up. It's been about 13 months, I guess, since we wrote it. It's beat the S&P. That's called Alpha. The name of the site is Seeking Alpha. For those of you who are seeking Alpha, that's what we write articles on. We write pick stocks that we think can deliver Alpha going forward. And UMC has definitely delivered Alpha and more. And I think we'll make UMC our featured stock of the day. And we do also disclose that we own it in our dividend and growth portfolios. All right. Well, this has been fun. We're going to have to come back and do this all over again tomorrow, because guess what? There's a 24-hour news cycle that is now in place. And I'll get caught up by this time tomorrow. And we'll have a whole lot more to report on again tomorrow. Nobody knows what will happen between now and tomorrow. But that's what's the most important things that I see happening in the market over the last 24 hours. You need a money manager that's vigilant, active, not passive. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter. That's a good way to start, at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.